Welcome. I actually felt something that's not according to plan, Chris, but as a start, I want you to turn to the person next to you, so two by two. It's going to be quick. And I'm going to give you, so it shouldn't be your husband or wife, preferably. Yeah, someone, okay. 2 minutes. Yeah. You're going to have to chat to someone else. And I want you, each is going to have a chance to share your testimony to them in 2 minutes. Okay? So you start with, where were you before you knew Jesus? What was the state of your life? What happened? What was the encounter that happened? And then what did Jesus do in your life after that? So 2 minutes, start with one, and your time starts now. Okay, so the first person can start ending their testimony in 10 seconds. You can arrange copies afterwards. That is allowed. Okay, person two can start. 2 minutes. Okay, person two can start wrapping it. You can start making the altar call about now. Okay, awesome. Take their number and go for a coffee and get the 30, 40, 1 hour version of it. How was that? Did anyone get saved? Anyone there? So, welcome everyone. Yeah, that it's for those last year. We had a whole season in terms of evangelism. So, if you want to practice that more, you can reach out to Aubrey for First Thursdays, where you get to practice it even more, and obviously in the rest of your life as well. So tonight, we're normally on for our big groups, we do spiritual disciplines, and we felt when we got together as staff a few months ago, just to focus on missions and outward focused, which has aligned just with our consecration fast for those who were there, and we also felt in terms of obviously that you had seen our preaching series to an extent, also focusing on that with a team going out, and just felt the Lord lead us in terms of veering off for this one Wednesday in terms of celebrating missions and going. And I almost felt beforehand, maybe it should become part of our annual calendar. Now you get the traditional calendar, maybe this can be part of our calendar as we celebrate going out and missions and what God is doing in various places in the world. So for us, this is also why we want to celebrate that. It's also because it's part of who we are. It's like part of our identity going out. It's not just something we do and try and use our holidays for, but it's also something that we feel God calls us for and through whom many of us have been discipled over the years and experienced God as well. So we're really excited about this, and Chris is going to share more. And as we hear stories of what God is doing through our various mission partners in different places in the world, and hearing more about our recent missions of Luxembourg and Burundi, fresh out of Burundi, where's everyone that came from Burundi in the last week? Let's give a clap. And Ross, we met with him this week, and he summarized it so beautifully that missions is this opportunity to own the mission of Jesus. It's where we step into what the great commandment which Jesus calls us for, and for us to own it. It's not only about going and obeying. That is obviously a big part of it. But the beauty of it is we get to walk it out as we do in our everyday life. But just going on missions for those who have been having consecrated time where you can just focus on what God is telling you and with the people around you is always really special and impactful. Who has been on short-term missions here? I mean, I think for many of us. And yeah, we want to celebrate that and make it even more of a lifestyle, more of a standard thing that we as a local congregation does. So yeah, with that, want to hand over to Chris. We can just give a clap for Chris, who arranged all of us. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Shark. Evening, family. So what we really want to do is start off by diving into what the Lord's heart is for missions, and really understanding that well. And to do that, it's from my side going to be a bit of a mix of history and geography this evening. And I took a page out of Diabia's book from the last big group of the importance of understanding the historical context, so the then and there of the original audience to which Scripture was written. And I really trust that, that through that, and as we go through that process, that the Lord will reveal something special about His heart to us. So I want to take us back around 2,000 years to the nation of Israel. And the reason for this is I really believe that when we understand some of the specifics around what happened in Jesus' ministry, and specifically in those 40 days from His resurrection to His ascension into heaven, that we'll start to know the Lord's heart for missions. So what you'll see behind me is a modern-day map of Israel. So we know Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem, just south of Jerusalem, but then grew up on the northern outskirts of Israel in Nazareth. And roughly by the time that Jesus was 30, he was then baptized in the Jordan River to the east of Nazareth by John the Baptist. He's then led out into the wilderness by the Spirit, and when he returns, he commences his public ministry on earth through the first miracle of turning water to wine at the wedding. And then roughly for the next 3 years, Jesus continues to minister in that region in and around Galilee. So that included the town of Nazareth and areas to the south of that, to the east of that, up to the Sea of Galilee. And that was really where his teaching and preaching was focused. Jesus did minister in areas outside of this, but a majority of his time was spent in this area. And then towards the end of that three-year period, you see the culmination of Jesus' ministry through his entrance into Jerusalem, his accusation, and then his death and resurrection. And by this point in time, the good news of the Messiah has largely been contained within the nation of Israel and would primarily have been received by the Jewish nation, who was waiting in eager anticipation for Messiah. And this is not to say that the good news would not have reached other areas, because it definitely would have spread to a degree and would have reached other people groups. But the significant portion of people who would have heard that good news were concentrated in this area. And then if at this point you then fast forward to the end of that first century, you see a couple really interesting things happening. And we take this from scripture and historical evidence that shows us two things. The first is that the gospel started to rapidly spread throughout North Africa, Western Asia, and Europe. This was largely concentrated in the urban centers of what is today, modern-day Turkey, Greece, Italy, Tunisia, Libya, and Syria. And so you've got this dramatic spread. But what you also see is over this time, the composition of the church changes dramatically too. It's difficult to estimate exactly, but when you go read up on it, you'll see that some scholars estimate that roughly 70 to 80% of the church by 100 AD consisted of Gentiles, so non-Jews. So if we now take a step back and just zoom out a little bit, you see that you have this offshoot of Judaism that operated largely in that area of Galilee for a number of years. You then have Jesus' death and resurrection, and in the historical context, over a fairly short period of time, of roughly 60 to 70 years, where we get to the end of the first century, you see that Christianity has now spread to large portions of three major continents. And so you've had this dramatic shift over a really short period of time. And I think a reasonable question that any one of us might ask is, why did this happen? And that's where I want to take us to Matthew 28. So chapter 28 is the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and starts just after the resurrection, where Mary and who Matthew refers to as the other Mary, arrive at the empty tomb and see that Jesus is risen. They are told by an angel there that Jesus is alive, and they are instructed to tell the disciples to go to Galilee, where Jesus will meet them there. And we pick up at verse 16, where the disciples have traveled to Galilee and to the top of a specific mountain that Jesus has instructed them to go to. And we read from verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So what we have here is the Great Commission. It is the commission to go and make disciples in all nations. And there are two elements that I want to pick up from in this commission. And the first is that it is a commission to go to all nations. And when we look at the Greek here, the word for nations is ethne, and refers to tribes, and in particular, foreign tribes. So it would have been understood to mean a commission to go to other people groups, and not simply for the disciples to continue to remain in Israel and continue to minister there. So what Jesus is saying is effectively, we've had a lack of time ministering here in Cape Town. There's been lots of miracles that have happened. We've gone up north to Longabon. We've gone east a bit to Hermanus. But I'm now sending you to go to all people groups. I'm sending you to the surfers in Durban, to the Blue Bull supporters in Pretoria. I'm sending you to the Zimbabweans, the Kenyans, the Nigerians, the Egyptians. I'm sending you to the Europeans, the Arabs, the Asians. I'm sending you to all ends of the earth. And that is what the disciples would have understood by this when Jesus said, go to all nations. Then the second element of this Great Commission is what to do when we are now in the nations. And that is to make disciples. And the word, the Greek word here used for disciples implies to enroll as a student or a scholar. And that is effectively the instruction of what our action should look like when we have reached these different people groups. And making disciples has two very clear elements here. The first is to involves the element of salvation. So forgiveness of sins and the baptism that happens as a result. The second element is then to teach those people in the ways of the Lord. And the word in the original text here for teaching is a prolonged verb and implies a process of teaching. So that's why when we go on missions, we always aim to partner with local mission partners to labor alongside them. We don't take this shotgun approach of taking the gospel to a new nation, getting people saved or trusting the Lord for their salvation and then leaving. We aim to partner with Spirit-filled churches and believers in those areas so that the people there may be admonished, taught, instructed in the ways of the Lord, and that they will continue to be taught even when we as the mission team leaves. So that is the commission. It is to go to all nations and make disciples of those nations. And Jesus then reiterates this commission later in Acts 1 verse 8, which reads, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So there are two important things here that we need to see in this commission that Jesus gives the apostles. The first is that when we are witnesses, we are always empowered and equipped by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who fills us, who guides us, who gives us the strength and skills to do the work of that mission. The second element is that missions are both local, regional, and international. So when Jesus is referring here to Jerusalem, that's that immediate context for the disciples. Judea and Samaria is the historical southern and northern regions of Israel. So that refers to that broader regional commission to be witnesses. And then the reference to the ends of the earth is to go to all nations outside that nation of Israel. And so when we think back to what happened in that first century, and we ask, why was there this urgency among the early church to go out and take the good news to these people groups that hadn't yet heard it? Our answer lies here in the Great Commission. It is that commission that compelled the early church back then, and that commission still compels us today. It is what we follow when we go on missions and when we step out in faith and take the good news to different people groups. It is a fulfillment of this commission that Jesus gave after his resurrection. So practically, missions can vary quite a bit. You can have short-term missions, which vary from a few days to a few weeks. You could have longer-term missions, which involve a more extensive commitment of a number of years or even a lifetime, where a ministry may commit to serve and minister in a specific area or region. And as we mentioned earlier, missions can be local, regional, or international. And then the nature of those missions might also vary from one to the next. So you might have an intercessory mission focused on prayer, an evangelical mission focused more on sharing the gospel, a discipling or a training mission, or a church planting mission. So there's quite a bit of variance there, and often a mission can consist of more than one of those elements and is often a mix of them. But what we know is that Spirit-led missions will always comply with that template that we have in the Great Commission, and that is to make disciples when we reach out to the nations. So as that is our foundation for missions, we are incredibly blessed to be part of a community that holds this commission really close to its heart. And we have been able, as a church here in Cape Town, to partner with a number of missions partners around the world. So we have missions partners in Burundi, Malawi, Luxembourg, India, and Sri Lanka. And we're fortunate enough to have received a few updates from these mission partners, which we'll be sharing this evening as well. So I can hand over to Jaco, who can maybe kick us off there.
Hi, greetings in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. My name is Mahesh Pereira from Sri Lanka, a beautiful island in South Asia. I met SOFA Church missions team in 2015 through one of my friend worked in Barnabas Fund. Actually, he introduced me, Brendan Smith. He was the first missionary team leader to Sri Lanka. He brought an excellent team to Sri Lanka, and we were able to take them to very remote and urban churches in different part of our country. I would like to thank each and every team member who visited us, because through their ministry, the churches were really blessed. They are really prayerful and disciplined, and also spirit-filled. They have traveled hundreds of miles to reach out very remote villages and making a tremendous impact on the life of the people they ministered to. Through their ministry, the gospel was shared with hundreds of people. Many were healed from different diseases and sicknesses. Demons were cast out. Leaders were trained in discipleship. And we were able to plant churches. The pastors who opened their ministries to them were truly blessed and encourage. I thank God for their wonderful ministry and each and every missionary team who visited us from 2015.
Hello, Jelle. Hello, church. Just two words from my side. Apart from gardens and curtains and cabbages and kids, it's so wonderful to see how the Lord is not only making the literal seeds in the ground grow into this abundant harvest, He is also growing the seeds in the kids' hearts. There are tiny little leaves peeking out above the soil, and it's amazing to see scripture come true. But God is just working in them and giving them the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And that the Lord continues to make us all more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. I believe that the beginning of this transformation looks like a young girl asking if she can share the word in church on a Sunday, or someone giving their heart to the Lord on a piece of paper and writing and declaring that Jesus is their Savior. This is God working in them, and we give Him all the glory for that. So please continue to pray for us, and as always, thank you so much for all your support and encouragement.
Hi fam, we're so excited about what the Lord is doing here in Gitega. It's been so beautiful to see how the Lord is opening doors through discipleship, community outreach, even our upcoming traditional wedding. But we also deeply miss our Kirumi and English services back in Cape Town. We miss the joy of worshiping together, the small group vibe, especially the love we shared as a family. Guys, we miss the unity across cultures back in Cape Town. You guys played a massive role in shaping who we are here today in Burundi. We can't wait to see you all. We love you. Okay.
Hey everyone, my name is Ati, and together with my wife Candace and our three boys, we've been connecting with your team from Shofar in South Africa over the last 4 years here in Luxembourg. First of all, we want to say thank you so much for all your prayers for the people of Luxembourg, for the setup of the church and for the missions there. It's been an amazing encouragement for us. And one of the things that really stood out for us since the mission team left a few weeks ago is the momentum from the different connections that they have made with some of our friends and other people we know here in Luxembourg. So many have shown an interest in the church and have asked us and follow up with us afterwards of what will happen with the church and how it will be set up and built. And that fills us with a lot of excitement. As a prayer request, we would love it if you can please pray just for the setup of the organizational structure of the new church in Luxembourg. At the moment, we're going through an application process with the government, and it's been a bit of a back and forth with the application, and we would really appreciate if you can pray that the Lord will open up those doors and help us to close off that chapter so that we can move forward with the setup. Thank you so much, and it's really fantastic, and what a privilege it is to connect with all of you.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning, church family. So this is take three.
Yeah, we would just like to give an update from us, from our family in North India, just what God is currently doing here among the believers and in the local church in North India. Over to Mina.
Yes, so this is our eldest, David and Malachi.
G.
And Johnny.
Jonathan. And yes, it's been really amazing to see how God has added to the church. So with the children's church, there are children that come from Hindu families. And we, yeah, it's just amazing to see how they grow in the love of God. And things that they learn, like some of them have never even heard about Noah's Ark and David and Goliath. So it's very exciting. And yeah, we are in expectation to see how where God is taking them.
Yes, and from a church point of view, we are currently working through the book of Ephesians. And yeah, with the current political and spiritual climate in India, and especially in North India, it's such a blessing to be able to work through the book of Ephesians as a church family, because it's such a book filled with hope and encouragement and comfort. And yeah, so we would love you to continue to pray for us and the people here. God is building his church in North India. He's adding daily, and it's so beautiful to see how Hindu families are joining the church and how they are growing spiritually. And yeah, we would just like to thank each one of you for all your love, your support, your prayers. It's greatly valued. And yeah, please come and visit us. And we're so grateful that we, with you guys, are part of a team seeing his kingdom come in North India. Thank you so much.
We love you.
We love you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Amazing. Yeah, praise the Lord for what he's doing in the nations. And from having seen take one and two, I can tell you that I think we have a future worship leader in Johnny there, because he just wanted to play the guitar in all those videos. So, yeah, it was really on our hearts to respond to what our mission partners there have shared this evening as well. And we want to take 5 minutes, and we'll split up into different groups just to take some time to pray for each of our missions partners. So I think we can break it up or split it up into the different nations. So maybe on this side, if we could pray for Malawi and Burundi and Luxembourg, if you guys want to split yourself in three, maybe like that. And then on this side, if we could maybe pray for India and Sri Lanka. Give us 5 minutes. Let's really trust the Lord to partner with what he's doing through the teams there. Sorry, everyone. I'm going to interrupt you there quickly. I believe we also have a video from Burundi. Is that right, Yaku? We're all very keen to pray.
Today, yeah. We went farming with Brother Dio. It was quite a challenge, but we made it through. We planted eggs, hoping for air plants soon.
We take up the heart of Burundi. to life. The Spirit of God is breathing new life. Stand on your feet, let the army arise. Let the nation be glad, the people rejoice. Hope has returned, the King has come. Let the Church of Christ arise and shine. Gitega, Gitega, the heart of the wounded. Gitega, Gitega, may you be saved. Gitega, Gitega, the kingdom is near you. Lord Jesus, reign in our hearts. You take up the crown, clean up your throne. Prophesy the word of the Lord. Open the grave and the dead come to life. The Spirit of God is breathing new life. Stand on your feet, let the army arise. If the nation be guided, the people rejoice. Hope has returned, the kingdom is come. Let the Church of Christ arise and shine. Gitega, Gitega, the heart of Burundi. Gitega,
Gitega,
this often feels like we're going to say.
Gitega, Gitega,
the
kingdom is near. No Jesus.
Look at the pizza. And then you add your own topping. Boiled egg is also acceptable.
Yum. Today.
Amazing. All right. Let's pray.
Always free and
Man, you can just wrap, do those last prayers. Last prayer. And start lining up at Amen. Now you can start saying Amen. Amen. Yes. Just something that I thought was quite cool, just looking at the list. I mean, we first saw Sri Lanka, Pastor Patum. He doesn't speak English. That's why I just had more photos. And so we've been working with them for a few years in Mahesh. That's from the Evangelical Alliance. But apart from them, everyone has quite a connection with our Cape, with this congregation. Yvette, obviously, coming from here, going there. Ati was... Does anyone here remember Ati and Candace from the time that they were here? If you're here for 10 years or so. So they were here in this church before they went to Luxembourg. Darbury, they're obviously from Shofar, where pastors in East PE, so John Ree and Louis, so John Ree's brother, and then obviously teacher and DNA from this. So who knows next year whom of you we're going to pray for up there. I think who we're going to pray for, but maybe there's others going to other places in the coming years, and I just thought that's powerful, reflecting on that, that God has already sent people from this church to go and plant in different places. So watch that space. Maybe your name is on it in the next few years.
Amazing. Thanks, Shark. And as a church, we've had the massive privilege of sending two mission teams out recently, as most of us would know, to Burundi and Luxembourg. And we're really excited to hear from the teams and of the testimonies of what the Lord did on those missions. So we'll kick off with the Burundi mission. So whoever from the team would like to come up and share, please go for it.
All right, hello, Amol. So, yeah, we had the privilege of going to Burundi to go support and encourage Teacher and Dieudonne. Yeah, they're not planting a church directly. They're starting with a discipleship group with some fellowship, and they've got a core group of people that we went to encourage. And then a big part of the mission was to go and spread the gospel, go door to door and share the truth of the gospel. And to be honest, that was very intimidating for a lot of us. I didn't look forward to it the morning I woke up. Now we have to go do this. And yeah, Debbie warned us and he said we might feel like that, and I definitely felt like that. But the Lord is faithful. When you go and you knock on a door and you look the people in the eye, and they are very friendly. Everybody invited us in. We could share with whoever we wanted to share with. So then we would either pray with them if they had some prayer requests, or we would, if we felt, we would share the gospel. We would try to share the gospel at every opportunity. We split into three teams, and Dieudonne was our translator in our team. And every single time that we shared the gospel, there was a reaction and people got saved. Every single time. So, yeah, we just praise Jesus for that. And just another small cool testimony. One of the ladies that we prayed for, she was in Gitega for an internship at the hospital. When Jules asked if she could pray for her, she said, yes, her brother is applying for a visa in Europe. And we asked, where is he going? She said, Luxembourg. Yeah, and we just got feedback that the visa was approved. So Diebe already has some people on that side.
Okay, hello, Yella. Sure. There's so many moments from the past week. But I'd love to share two big moments with you guys. The first was we went to a family's house that the daughters come to the discipleship group that Teacher and Dieudonne run. And they'd been praying for their father for a while to accept the Lord. So all the women in the house, they have accepted the Lord, but the men are but stubborn, as you always are. And then we have to help you. No, I'm joking. But anyway, so we got there, and Harry played a worship set, and he started talking to this oom. But guys, he was like, when I walked in, I just saw someone like my grandfather. Like, I looked at this oom, and I was like, you were so nekis, and you're just like a real pillar in his family. And he was a French teacher all the years, a very, very lovely man. And Harry shared the gospel with him, and eventually he said yes, he wanted to accept the Lord. And behind him, his son was sitting, and he's about like 30-ish. He's also married and has a kid and everything. And when the dad started to pray, the son got up and he started to pray with his father. And it was just this moment of like father and son, and just that image of a dad when a dad is in place, like how that trickles down. And as we were praying, we just got this image of a big old tree, like, you know, those big ones you find in the Kruger that has like a big canopy, and there's all these tiny little trees underneath it. And I felt like this is what that dad is in that family. He's like this big tree covering all these little trees still growing up. But then I saw that the roots of this tree was now going down into the ground, and it was connected to this river that just flows and flows and flows. And the word that we had received that was that he wasn't just choosing life for the people in that room, it's for the generations after it as well, because that's what happens when you choose life. You do not just choose it for you, you choose it for your family that comes after you. And then the big testimony, as you all know me, I'm a bit of a girly girl, and I'm stout for a sticky sequins and glitter and everything. So I packed my glitter to Burundi. And I really struggled not putting foundation on in the morning. But anyways, and so we went out to the kids' ministry. And it's the group of single moms that the church helps to have the kids go to school. And Gaga, teacher's wife, does such an amazing job with them. And they're so sweet. And they sang us a song and said Psalm 23 to us. And yeah, it was just so lovely. And for some reason, I felt that I wanted to take out my glitter. And I started putting glitter on the little girls, and it was such an amazing experience to be able, as I like glittered them, to say that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you are loved by your Father, and that you are welcome here. Because, yeah, it was something that I struggled with in my life, but all this emotion sort of came up, and I wasn't sure how to deal with it. And then the boys came, and I was like, well, I can't put glitter on their cheeks, so I put it on their hands, and I was like, you're strong, courageous. But I thought about it the whole time, and just seeing their little faces, I was like, yo, there was just something so rough about it. And then that night, Harry wrote the song that just, you'll hear it now, and then you will cry too. But it just perfectly sums up what the Lord feels about these kids. And I think I want to tell each and every one of you that this might be a song about them there, but it's also applicable to you, that if you're sitting there and you've not been affirmed by, maybe by your earthly father, but you're still wondering if you are good enough, and if there's something in you that still wonders, you must know that you're here with a purpose, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are strong and courageous, and you are loved by the Father. So that was something that really stood out for me on this mission.
Yeah, we made some space to share that later on. I wanted to share a bit about the song that Mila put in the background of the video. I would have sung it now, but because it was in the video, I must now do something else. The song's name is Heart of Burundi. And if you sort of see where Gitega is situated in Burundi, it's sort of right at the spot where the heart would be. And while we were praying and walking through Gitega, I just kept saying the town's or the city's name, Gitega, Gitega, and I just felt that chorus come sort of like God dropped it into my ear. And then I sat with Diabia and said, listen, I feel you as a song. You must just help me polish it. And the song is a prophetic declaration over Gitega as the heart of Burundi, with Ezekiel 37, where the prophet Ezekiel was told by God to prophesy over the valley of dry bones and for an army to be raised up from there. And we felt we wanted the song to be translated in Kirundi, so we quickly WhatsApped Edmond here in Cape Town. He quickly did a translation, and it was just so beautiful how we could give this song to Gitega and their leaders and say, this is your gift, run with this in this town and keep singing it until you see this prophecy come to fruition. So I just wanted to testify about that. And it was really a great mission, and the country is beautiful, the people are beautiful, they've got the best culture of inviting strangers in and just hearing what you have to bring. So I really want to encourage you to pray into, if you need to go visit Diodone and teacher in Burundi, and it will be great to see some numbers in the future going there again. All right, thanks guys.
Naka, thank you so much, team. Yeah, I just felt I wanted to share a quick test me because it tied in so nicely with what Mila said about the song, is that the song of Gitega, the heart of Burundi, when on the day that I said I would back the team in prayer, like as I was praying, I really felt like almost the invitation from the Lord to to know his heart for Burundi. And as I was praying that, I felt to listen to the translated version of that song in Kirundi. And as I was listening to it, I was just standing there and I just started crying. And it was just like I could sense the Lord's heart for the nation through the lyrics and through that song. So yeah, that I mean, I was incredibly blessed by it, and it's special to see how the Lord works across international borders. And going more north, I'd like to invite the Luxembourg team to come up to share as well.
Hey guys, I'm going to share just like more of a little update of I think what the mission meant to me, but also just like a status quo of where we're at and what's happening. And then I'm going to ask Gert to share a specific testimony. So the mission trip, I mean, we were incredibly blessed and felt incredibly loved by the fact that so many of you decided to come to Luxembourg and partner with us in this thing that we believe God has told us it meant the world to us, the sacrifice that it took and the hearts in it. It was a weeping mission. God told us through Psalm 126 that those who sow in tears will reap with joy, and we just cried a lot. But yeah, I think so. It was for the purpose of building relationships with the people we have relationships with on that side, and also for specifically to intercede. And relationships throughout the 5 weeks we were there, and the first week with the team, lots of new relationships formed, lots of old relationships strengthened significantly to the point where. Yeah, we've got three families that's continually sowing into the thing financially, and others that is also sown into it from that side, which is always a sign of heart, more than just, hey, well done, guys. You know, it's a sign of people saying, I'm actually partnering with you. So significant strengthening of relationships, and the people we knew to be part of that were excited about what we try to do was probably 12 to 14 before we went now, and now it's about 40, which is amazing. We feel like we've got a big family there. The children has got friends there. It's like opened up. So it feels like a second home already. Through the intercessory mission, towards the end of it, I got this picture that through the work that has been done in the spirit, we've actually built a stronghold, like a, I don't know, something that was built there in the middle of the city that continually like pours water out. And I got the sense that it's connected to the source, and this thing will, because of what this mission has accomplished in the spirit, will continually pour forth water into Luxembourg. This was really encouraging for me because there was a lot of labor in the spirit. It gave us, as those who want to go and establish there, a clear sight in the spirit of many things. I could share, I had the privilege of having a coffee with a 23-year-old born and raised Luxembourgish Christian who asked me, what is all the strongholds that you guys picked up in the spirit? And so I told him everything that we prayed into and about, and he resonated with all of it, with wonderful excitement, which made me feel like I now get his world because of what we have heard and have done. It gives me clear sight. And there was mighty blows that we have dealt in the spirit. So some things are not the same as they used to be because we've gained ground spiritually. which makes things a lot easier. So that's the mission. Just a general update. So, yeah, like Ati said, a big prayer point is just the registration of the church entity on that side, the NGO. It's just gone through three needless circles of them coming back to us and saying, hey, like, update this little bit of admin in your application, and then we update it significantly, and then everybody has to re-sign it, and then they resubmit it, and then the next time they tell us again, oh, also please change this, but then they could have said that last time, but they didn't, and then we have to redo it. All the team on that side, we're not part of that, and so that's happened three times, so we're just like, come on. I thought it's Europe. So just for that to go through, and then we're currently exploring two different options with regards to getting us there, employment there, either through the church, ASPL, or through another other business connection. There's been a few options on the table, but someone again phoned me yesterday and said, listen, I think I have a possible solution. So we're just trusting God that whether it's through the church that employs me or whether it's through that, that there would be, that something would happen now. That would be nice. But God's timing can sometimes make one anxious. And then, yeah, we've been fundraising, as you know. That's gone really well. So we trusted God for around 2 million rand for the first 18 months. Would have been a lot more if I did not have employment through outsourced CFO that will continue on that side, which helps a lot with our own living expenses. But we need about 2 million rand. And if I estimate the monthly contributions and the once-off contributions that we have received to date in South Africa and also in Luxembourg, then we should only still need around 600,000 rand and we should have reached our target. So we do, yeah, that's cool. We do need that 600,000 and in cash would be better because we need it in that entity for us to be able to do an appointment through there. So that's still a big stretch. So you guys can pray for that. So it's employment registration of the entity that side and also the fundraising. It's very real stuff. That's an update. That's what the mission was, and that's where we're at the moment. And I'm going to hand over to Gert for a testimony of what happens on intercession missions.
I usually don't go to Africa because I cry a lot and very easily, but then Luxembourg was there and we cried a lot. Yeah. So intercessory mission is just to fill out the space, to scout, to listen, to actively focus on what is God saying, and prophetically proclaim what God is saying, releasing things, building what He needs to be built. We're not necessarily taking on anything, and we, if the opportunity is there, we share the gospel, but the focus is to listen to God. So we were walking, and Luxembourg isn't necessarily just a city, it's like a whole country. It's a countryside, it's vineyards, there's small little towns around. Beautiful. We went through the city, and then Retief and Diabea felt that we should probably go visit some of the other villages around. So where I went, Retief strongly felt we need to go to Esternacht. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a bit European, that German. So we went there with Franz and Anel and the kids and Natasha, Johanna went to Sherry, you went with. So it's about an hour's train drive. We had some lacquer chats and just dug a bit into the history because we had no idea what Esternacht is. Retief had no idea. He just felt it on a list of name. And reading up about it, it was the first town in Luxembourg ever established. It was established by missionaries. And God revealed to us, like, it's a gateway to Luxembourg. So we know He was setting something up. And the more you read into the history, there's a lot of folklore and stories of the area. which happened the week, which was the celebration the week prior, like seven days before we went. So the moment we got to Echternacht, you could literally feel the atmosphere was a lot of confusion, a lot of hoo-ha. But I've made notes, so I don't go on too long. But yeah, it was amazing, like, once you start to focus and to listen to God, how he clearly speaks. And I think the important thing that I learned there is to be childlike, you know, to receive what God is showing, because he uses many things around you to show you his heart, to show what he's doing, to show what's the atmosphere. So as we went, we first felt we need to go to the bridge that connects Germany with Luxembourg. So we went to the bridge all the way there. And that was such a significant moment, and that is where God just revealed a lot in one moment, just a lot of things coming together in that. That bridge just represents the gateway. Whatever is allowed into Luxembourg from outside, there needs to be a gate and a gatekeeper. There was like no gatekeeper. There was a little guardhouse, which was in the old days, the passport control and everything. It was completely empty and abandoned, which just represents the spiritual abandonment of the missionary station that was there, suppose, that was built way back. There was a flagpole, there was no flag, so nobody claimed the land. It was just... And as we start praying scripture, Isaiah 58, we prophesy that over Luxembourg. And just in summary, it's to loosen the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to share food, to provide shelter, and to clothe the naked, just in summary. So we just proclaim that over Luxembourg, because being such a prominent space, breadbasket of Europe, that's what God is calling you into. So as we start busy proclaiming that, two people with bicycles come to drive, and just right next to us, they unpack. You know, you get those tourists with all the bags on the bicycles and everything. And Franz and Sherry start chatting to them, and it turned out they are missionaries. As we're busy proclaiming and calling the missionaries in, they come and cycle in there. I don't know, yeah, what a great chat. And as we also proclaim to loosen the chains, to clothe the sick, everybody in home, we're kind of used to homeless people here. In Europe, in Luxembourg, it's not that common. A homeless guy came, and he stood in front of us, right next to the flagpole. And it's just like how God is showing these things. As we start calling them, he reveals things. It's as if he is, okay, yes. And then winds come and seeds start to blow. It's just like this little fluffy seeds. I don't know what it is. And we were just standing there in awe, what is happening here. And just how God is his, seeds being flown. How he's just confirming word after word after word. And that's based. And we really need to be childlike in this, to see what God is showing, to experience it, and let's establish it. So, and we call in the guards, the watchmen, over Luxembourg. And so there's a lot of historical significance being the gateway, just as Cape Town is also the gateway and the starting point of South Africa. Furthermore, I'm not going to go too long. That was quite a big moment there. If I missed anything, please just jump in, Franz or Thierry. So furthermore, we went into the big cathedral, which was the school, the missionary school set up, to just call into education, like to so that the scripture can be taught, discipleship can happen as well. There was also fountains, which the other girls felt, they prayed in the fountains, but nature had an effect on me with the fountains and the water, and I needed to go to the bathroom. It's a story behind this. The Lord works in mysterious ways. So I walked around, and I just couldn't find. So I went to the bathroom, public toilets there. And as I was there, I started hearing music. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? And as I exit, I just walked into this music school. And they were practicing music. It was a school. So it's not nice medleys, but some are a bit skewed. And Franz then also joined me, and we just both realized this is something. Because we can hear it, and we just felt the Spirit says, let's pray here for the worship leaders. And that is also the first music school of Luxembourg, and it's been there for since the year 600. Just training musicians for Europe, for orchestras. And we just proclaim for worship leaders to be released, for songs, and there were specific words that music would be written, prophetic music, but also not just in words, but in the really the deep essence of music be released over Luxembourg. And overall, it's a very, very nice, beautiful town. It's a lot of art and music, university and schools. And I think a word overall, it's in Luxembourg, the city, and also the trip that we had is the revival of arts. That in this financial hub, in this Haas en Bas, God is calling worship leaders and artists to start doing prophetic artwork, prophetic works, and just a revival in the arts. It was great just to see. Should I fly away? All right, cool. So just in conclusion, Esternacht, that specific space as a gateway, holds a deep spiritual and historical importance for Luxembourg. And it's great that the Lord revealed this, that going to the roots. Cool.
Thank you so much, team. So then as we were thinking a bit about missions and starting to get a bit practical about it for us individually, I think for different generations and in different parts of the world, there are often these constraints that generation might see when it comes to missions and what almost gets in the way of us stepping out in faith and responding to that commission. And I think for many of us in the seasons that we're in and the places that we're in, it's two very practical things that often keep us from responding to that call, and that is finances and leave. And we really want to encourage collectively, us as a church, that we would adopt a missional mindset when it comes to these two areas in our lives. And to share a bit on those specifically, I'd first like to ask Franz to come up to share a testimony on that.
I hope I don't cry. I'm just reminded of all the things that has happened. First mission I went on, shofar mission, was in 2013 with Jock and Nita and Anal, and it was really special because then I had a very small salary and I didn't have much because I was just starting working and I didn't have a lot of leave either. So I was like, okay, Lord, if you want me to go on this mission, I don't know what this mission thing is, but let's go on this mission, then you'll have to provide the finances. I think the cost of the mission then was 12,000 rand or something. I can't remember exactly. And I had half of it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this step of faith thing. I'm going to give that money that I have. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to go on the mission. But then if God wants me to go on the mission, he's going to provide it, the rest of it. Lo and behold, the next day, my company decides to pay us as employees like a production bonus share, unannounced. They just pay this out. And I'm like looking at the number. I'm like, this is a strange number. And as the principle that we learn about finances, when you get an income, you tithe 10% or whatever percentage. But so I tithe 10% on that. And guess what the remaining number was? So God provided exactly the exact amount after tithing, so he even put in the tithing part, after tax and everything, exact amount that I needed to go on the mission. And then the next question was leave. I didn't have leave, so now I applied to, after I said, yes, I'll go on the mission, not recommended though, but if your faith is that strong, do that. So I applied for leave, and then they gave me the leave. And then I have numerous other testimonies of this. This was the first time. And then every other mission to Sri Lanka, even to Luxembourg now. We went as a five of us to Luxembourg. And if you can do the math, that's a lot of money. But God provided, and he provided for that. And I just want to encourage you that if you feel like you don't have enough money, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, we're planting a church, we don't have all the money yet. But it's not because of money, because money is not our master, it's our slave. And God owns all the money in the world. But that is also, he's given us resources that we need to also sow. So if you can't go, then sow. Don't quote me on that. Should put that in a song, right? And then it's amazing how the Lord allows us to step out in faith, and then you're not sure if he's going to provide. But that's like a place where we grow. And it's such a good place for us to walk in. I think that's the places where I've grown the most, is trusting the Lord that he will actually come through. And if it doesn't, it's also a place of growing, because maybe you heard wrong. But it's still fine, because he's in control and he makes things work out according to his plans and his purposes. So as long as we submit under him, he will provide for us in that. But don't let finances be the reason why you don't go, because it's part of our commission. Jesus commanded us to go, not to just Cape Town, but also to the ends of the world. And that is such a special and a place. All of you that have been on missions can testify of how you've grown in that space, more than what you could give on that mission. God deposits into you in that time. And it's such a special place. Don't let finances be the reason why you don't go, because God will provide.
Awesome. I'd like to invite Elsa up to share as well.
Hi, guys. I'm Elsa. I feel like France, Brother France, has covered that grounds of finances. So I'm sharing on a mission that I recently been on, which was Sri Lanka last year. I'm just saying. At the time, I was a full-time student. I was studying tourism. Praise the Lord. We're fully working now. You. Sorry, guys. My brain is like the kids. Like, you've been hearing them all night. That's me, too. And I was a full-time student, and I was studying. And I think the mission was announced November, December, sometime before the church went on a break. And then when we came back from Christmas break, I felt the promptings like, go on this mission, but it wasn't deep, ne? And so I joined the group, and then I didn't think about logistics. I was like, just going to rock up, because that's what you do as a student. You just rock up. And that's what I did. And then the first meeting, I mean, most of you know the story, but the first meeting, Jacques was like asking, okay, so everybody got passports, right? And then I was like, a passport. I need to get a passport. I didn't even think about that, because as a student, you just rock up. But no, honestly, guys, I didn't think I needed a passport. But anyways, praise the Lord. He's good. Studying tourism. Yes, Alice, did him. guys, stop. It's late. I'm going to start getting the giggles. And from then, I then was invested in it, and we had prayed about it, and I thought to go. But then the question was 100% funds. Where are they going to come from? I'm a full-time student. I am already on a bursary in ISFAS, and then I come from a household with a single mother who, so great. She's so cool. She, yeah, raised 5 kids on her own. Praise the Lord for that. But it's like, we don't have that much money saved out. It was like 25,000 rand, ne? It was 25,000 rand. And it's like, where am I going to get it? I can't, it's not locked away somewhere, treasure hunt type of vibe. No, it doesn't exist. But I remember knowing that I really feel called to join this mission. And Lord, I'm going to take that step with you. And I remember one of the evangel with Nastasia, I don't know how to pronounce her name, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I knew, I was like, okay, we are definitely going on this mission, but the funds are saying a different story. And then I was like, Lord, please speak to me. I went to go get the passport. Everything was done in the process. I remember I was in class or in between breaks when Nita sent me a message in my questioning. That day I was super anxious about the mission. And Nita sent me a message and she's like, Elsa, someone paid 15,000 rand for you to go on the mission. And I was like, what? Hold it. Wait, what? And I was like, Lord, from 25,000 to 15,000 rand, what? Okay, so now I just need to, you know, find a way to work the 10,000 rand funds. Like, it's gonna, we can do it. Yes. I didn't even get to that point to raise that 10,000 rand, guys, because people were like, oh, France said, plant it, and they gave, and it helped. It contributed. I don't even know what happened to that extra 10,000. Anyways, it's a story for another day. But praise the Lord, he's so good. He saw the need to get me there because he needed to affirm me as his child in a completely different country. Like, the Lord, he needed to, I believe that he needed to get me there because it was in a very crazy season of my life. I had just lost my dad, and who was not part of my life, but the Lord saw the need to get me there in order to affirm me as his child, because he told a completely different... And we're back online. Testing, testing. Yeah, boo. I remember it's quite loud. I remember we had a worship session. It was also an intercessory one where we were praying for the gospel and for the Lord to reveal himself. And out of nowhere, this one pastor comes up and he's like, there is a person here who I feel the Lord saying, you have lost your earthly father, but I am your heavenly father. And this man was speaking it in Sinhalese, which was, he couldn't speak English. And I 100% know that he was God saying, by the way, sister, I needed you to come here so I can affirm you and remind you and let you know in the depths of your soul that you are my child and you belong to me. In a completely different country, out of my control, out of my human control, because I couldn't have gotten myself to Sri Lanka and have had God speak over me like that. And so I was in it to win it, man. And so it's just that financial, please keep sowing. Please keep giving. Please keep standing out in faith because he needs you to get there to use you. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Elsa. Gerbrand is going to come up and share the one song that they wrote on the Burundi mission. And let's just prepare our hearts to really receive what the Lord wants to say to us as well through that.
Bible school normally ends at 9. So for those still planning their fitness for Bible school, we still got 25 to go. So this is it. This is it. I'd love to just share where this song came from on top of what Mila shared. I think the first moment that touched me was when we landed in Burundi, in Bujumbura. We took a 2-hour bus route to Gitega, and we stopped at one town for bananas or something, and a lot of people just gathered around our minibus, a lot of them probably out of curiosity, but in peeking out of the windows, a lot of the mothers brought their children to the windows and just offered their babies to us in a way of saying, please, like, just do something or touch my baby or bless my baby. And next to me, Ninka, out of nowhere, just got super overwhelmed and started bursting out in tears. And I just asked her what's wrong, and she said, like, she just feels so overwhelmed. And I didn't quite catch her emotion there and then, but as we continued to minister in Gitega and Burundi, every night I would go to bed and I would just see the hundreds of children's faces in my head, and it was difficult processing it. A lot of children in dirty clothes, with dirt on their faces, and they stand in front of you in 50s or 60 groups. And I think I was tempted to look at the children and just feel that their situation is so hopeless, and that I wondered to myself if they really knew their worth, if they really knew their worth in God. And when we drove back from one of the villages, Dio Donne said that he used to be one of the children in the villages. And it just sparked a lot of hope in me to know that Dio today is a faithful church planter and God is taking care of him. And I think I sat with Dio again with this song and just said, I wanted to just get it out of me that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings dignity to people. By the blood of Jesus, I can look at the children and have hope. I don't have to measure them towards anything that they can achieve. And the song came from a place of wanting to take the child intimately, or just sit with the child intimately and say, you're so worthy to God. And I imagine God also taking the child by the chin and pulling the child's face up towards him, because so many times when you look the children in their eyes, they look away, or they don't want to make eye contact. My heart cried out for just ministering hope to them. So I'd love to share the song with you. Can we maybe just switch off the lights? In an attempt just to take some focus off of ourselves and, yeah. Let God minister the song to your heart, also like Mila said, and yeah, may we have hope in Jesus.
Thank you so much for all the test me's and words of encouragement that were shared. Sure, the Lord is moving and working, and what a privilege it is to labor with Him. May we go out with that heart. Bless you.
Amen. Let's just give a clap for just God's goodness. So yeah, thanks Chris for just stewarding this so well and the way you arranged everything and everyone that was part of this. And obviously there would be more missions in the next year, so start saving now. Something that Chris thought of is like, or was it Ross, but you should think of it like a lay-by. Start buying missions for next year. Start saving now. You can even, we said, pay your amounts into the missions account by saving for next year somewhere. Put your name to it if you want to, or give it away. That's something. But yeah, let's trust God for more of this just as we step into the commission, what Jesus has called us to, and just partnering with Him in the nations and trusting God that we would also manifest that in our daily lives here in Cape Town. Bless you. Amen. Enjoy the rest of the evening.